in pioneering. You want to embrace the difficult times, the fearful times, the doubtful, all of it. Because when you look back at those moments and be so thankful and not be full of regret that you seized the opportunity and you didn't let it pass you by.
When God calls you, He always equips you.
You do not feel equipped at first. When God calls you to pioneer, it looks differently for everybody. It means discovering uncharted waters or worlds unknown, breaking generational curses in your family, being the breaker in your family, and being the one to pioneer a new path in your bloodline, whether it's generations of divorce, anger, or alcoholism, or whatever those issues are. God's calling you to break away from that and establish a new covenant. Welcome to an episode of A Building Ruins. You guys notice that we're clinking and clacking our glasses right now. Mazel tov. We are celebrating Valentine's Day coming up. Cheers to you. I'm having a Diet Coke.
That's not a rosé.
No.
Okay.
Look.
Just making sure.
We're not haters on drinking, but we just didn't have it in our in our arsenal. So we're just making do with what we got here. So we have, I'm taking a Diet Coke, and you are having?
Yeah, Aqua Purificada.
An Aqua Purificada.
Celebrating week 5 in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
Week 5. That's flown by fast. Was supposed to be a couple weeks. The Lord blessed and multiplied and turned into a long project.
Yeah.
But we're kids are having a great time.
Yes.
We're exploring.
Yes, we are.
Pioneering.
Pioneering. Guys, that is what we're going to be talking about today. Pioneering.
But first.
Oh my gosh, this is all up in the shot. That's
okay.
That's no, okay. It's not okay. Let me put this over here, guys.
Get that out of the shot.
If it was wine, wouldn't it be more classier? But
I would like to clean glasses one more time.
Why?
I would like to. So not only is it Valentine's Day on Friday, but then on Saturday, it is Amina and my 20-year anniversary. We're married February 15th, 2005, the greatest day of my life, the worst day of her life. No, okay. Something like that. But
I wouldn't say worse.
It's been a
heck of a ride.
It's been a heck of a ride.
Heck of a ride.
And I will drink my great value spring water to that.
Fancy. Okay.
Fancy.
Listen. We were like, I had to have him on because, I mean, it's Valentine's Day coming on. And it's also, like he said, our anniversary. So I'm like, you know, we got to join forces again on this. Don't you think?
Yeah. Anytime I'm blessed enough to be within this distance of you, I'm going to take you up on it.
You need a... Okay. Your flattery is just...
And I plan to lay it on thick.
Well, lay those dishes on even thicker, honey. I don't know. I'm curious to hear what your guys' Valentine's wedding plans. It may be some of you are getting married, but what are some of your guys' Valentine's Day plans? What are you guys planning to do? Yeah. Do any of you guys have any upcoming anniversaries in the month of February? Our wedding date was February 15th.
The day after Valentine's
Day. Guys, we didn't have anything glamorous for our wedding at all.
No.
I was pretty much pregnant, and we were just running to the courthouse, literally. And there was nothing cute about...
Super bougie.
Yeah. It was, you know, it's not what every girl plans for her wedding day to get hitched at the courthouse in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. I don't even think we have pictures.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think we have pictures, but we got married at the courthouse and then we went out for a really nice dinner in Chicago at Luciano's.
Yeah.
I think that was like
Cafe Luciano's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Rush Street.
So we had a nice little dinner there with our family. And that was
We went to the Drake Hotel.
That's yes.
The historic Drake Hotel. Yeah.
We did. We did do the Drake Hotel afterwards, but it was pretty basic.
Very basic.
Nothing. But I'll be honest, you know, we didn't do anything to get ourselves into a major like debt or anything like that. I think for a while I was like really bummed that we didn't do anything really pretty for our wedding. But then my mom started planning a surprise reception, which quickly snowballed into a wedding like in April. So then we had like an actual
April 9th.
Yeah. So then we had an actual nice ceremony, which my mom kind of had
headed up
She did it. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful wedding. Her and my cousin, shout out to her. They did a beautiful job on the wedding. It was absolutely so. It satisfied the wearing the white gown and seeing you get teary-eyed and
so beautiful
being able to dance at our wedding. And, you know, that's like, it's fun. You want to celebrate those things. So, I mean, and it's cool too. If, you know, we did the whole courthouse thing, that was cool too. Yeah. So, you know, there's.
You have to do the courthouse thing anyway because you have to go down and get.
Yeah.
So you do have to do that part.
Yeah. I really felt cheated. I was just kind of like.
I remember we went. Do you remember when we went to the Zion Beach thing to look at their thing? And it was so beautiful. It was like right on Lake Michigan. It's a really pretty like setup. Mm-hmm. I don't know if like Hilton owns that now or something, but then they told us the price and like it literally induced laughter from us.
Well,
it
was gorgeous because you get like was like a beautiful glass room with beach views.
Yeah.
And this is when, you know, we were engaged, you know, when I got pregnant. So we were still planning our wedding. But, you know, his parents were really kind of pushing us to just like, you need to hurry this up because before people start adding up the dates. So,
which our kids are great at math.
You know, really, who really cares? Just, you know, I don't know. So that's a little bit of our background, but.
I think it's huge to make it 20 years. I was like,
oh my gosh.
That is such a long time in marriage because marriage is so difficult yet rewarding. It's a risk. You're risking your love. You're risking your feelings.
Your life. It's a gamble.
But the Lord intended for marriage. He intended for family. He intended for the family unit. And honestly, when we talk about pioneering, when we talk about going into the unknown, I mean, I remember conversations we had where we're like, I want to have a big family. Do you want to have a big family?
And to us at the time, a big family was like four kids.
Four kids, maybe five.
Yeah. Right. Never thought, I don't even think, I mean, we rarely talked about five kids. It was always like four.
And we stopped at four.
We actually stopped at four. Yeah. For, let's see, what, 5 years?
Yeah. It was the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, let's just have one more. And I don't know what happened. He just broke the dam, and all of a sudden, all the other kids are trickling down.
It is honestly the Lord did a work in both of our hearts, and well, He did a work in your heart first, mm-hmm. And then I remember you coming to me. I think I want to have another child. And, you know, and I said, mm-hmm. okay. That was like kind of a shift for both of us. And I said, let's do it. And
well, you were really hesitant. You're like, I don't know. I was like, I don't care what you say. Because at the time, I had like this birth control, which was the IUD. So
they could like take it out.
Yeah, they had to take it out. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. And you're like, no. But that's just the kind of person I am. Just like
very spontaneous.
When I want to do something, I have to do it now. I'm very, what's that word? Impulsive.
Yeah.
So, you know, like even cutting my hair, I'm like, I just woke up one morning. I'm like, I'm cutting my hair. I'm not going to sit here and wait for an appointment. I'm not,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. I'm like, I want to have a kid.
No,
and
she's the type that's like, hey, we're going to paint the whole house today. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. She's very like, let's just do it. Let's rip up the carpet.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. He's come home before to the carpet, to the flooring ripped up. And he's like, what are you doing?
Okay. Let's do
this. You're like, and now I'm in this. Now you dragged me into this. But
it's wonderful.
I don't know. I guess, yeah. I don't know. It's led us to some really great places. Like,
yeah.
Well, speaking of pioneering, and we're just going to jump right into that. In, you know, we want to talk about pioneering in marriage, pioneering in parenting, and where that's led us, even pioneering with our spiritual life. We hadn't really planned on homeschooling our kids, and we want to raise our kids in a biblical way. And we had Maddox in school and Gabby in school at the time. And I was just, you know, it was a year where our next kid would be able to go to school, and then we could put our other kid, our youngest one at the time, in preschool. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to college, and I'm going to finish my education, and I was going to do that. So I was getting the ball rolling and all that, and I was making my plans to go ahead and go back to school. And I remember staying up late one night, and I saw this interview of this guy who made this documentary called, I don't even remember what it was called, but I saw it. And it really awakened something in me where I was like, I think I need a homeschool. Now, remember that impulsive nature I have. Okay. So I'm like, I know he's not going to be on board because he's going to be. And we both kind of had this preconceived notion of homeschool kids.
I don't know how a lot of you are, but like with my wife always, I don't know if it's she hears from God before me. But she at least listens to God before me. And so she gets the message, and then I hear it, and then it's like, okay. And I have this like processing time.
I know it's going to turn into war. I'll just kind of throw some feelers out there. And I kind of did that with him. I was like, okay, what do you think about homeschooling? And he was just like, no way. We're not going to be that weird family. We're not going to be the ones, you know, that are looking Amish. We're not doing that. I'm not going to do that with the weird kids and the weird, you know. He didn't want any of that type of image for our family. And I was like, okay, this is going to be a war. So I stepped back completely. And I was like, God, if this is something that is really on your heart that you've placed on my heart, I need you to change his heart because I'm not going to fight with him about this. And I'm already scared about doing homeschooling. I'm already like, you know, I have my own insecurities about that. So I need you to change his heart.
And you really heard from God on that. Like you felt it so strongly.
It was like it. I don't know. See, but I didn't interpret it as me hearing from God. I just felt like, oh my gosh, this documentary like really opened my eyes. It wasn't like the oh kind of thing where you're like, oh my gosh, thus saith the Lord kind of thing. But I was like, oh my goodness, I really think we need to homeschool our kids. You know, like this really, it brought up a lot of issues, a lot of things I've never thought about before. And this really altered my mindset on things. So you know, back to like when I was praying about it, I remember our son had come home and he was sharing about how some of the neighborhood boys were looking up some inappropriate things on the computer, and he decided he wasn't going to go in their house to look at it. He came back home. And
how old was he? I was so proud of him.
Like, oh my gosh, we're so proud of him. No, he was like, he was like 6 or 7. And because, you know, the kids would play in the backyard. And so they were kind of, you know, I noticed that they had dispersed and left. And I'm like, what?
They told him it was find the girls on the internet game or something like that. On the computer, find the girls on the computer game.
Sorry, guys, about the coffee. This time it's going to be a little difficult to edit all those out. But anyways, yeah. So he came home and I was like, what are you, you know, where the kids go? And they're like, oh, they're going to play some inappropriate game where they're looking for, you know, pictures on the internet of girls. And I was like, what? And we've always kind of had open conversations with our kids about, you know, sexual content and stuff like that.
And this is kindergarten or first grade.
This was the end of kindergarten for him, beginning of first. Actually, it was first grade, I think. But okay, so then that stirred his heart. And he came to me that evening. He was like, okay, I'm thinking seriously about the whole homeschooling thing now. And so I knew it was something I needed his support on, because if this was something that I just went rogue on, I needed support. I was going to, in the difficult moments when I forgot why I was doing this and when I wanted to quit, I needed to hear from him. It's okay. You got this. And remind me why we're doing this, because I did not want to hear, see, this is why I told you not to do it. Now we're going to be weird. Now, you know, and I didn't want him to remind me of all the reasons why we shouldn't do it, but I definitely needed his support on this. So that's why it was so important for me to pray and ask God to change his heart. And he totally did quickly.
I remember what really helped me is you found like a seminar close to us in Illinois, and you go there and then you're surrounded by these other families that are like-minded, that are kind of, you know, thinking outside the box for their children's education. And obviously you want the best education for your kids, the best, you know, but you don't want them to be, you know, indoctrinated with all this like ridiculous stuff that they're pouring into your kids' ears.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is you don't feel qualified as a parent to teach, to educate your own child. You feel like that is something that is left to the professionals. And that was a big lie, I believe, for so long. Like, as a parent, you are disqualified. Like, leave that for the professionals to educate your child. And that was the biggest message in this documentary, was you are commissioned by God to educate your child. It is not the duty of the government. It's not the duty of teachers. It's not the duty of anybody else to educate your child. That is something that is mandated from parents to your children, to educate, to train your child in the way that they should go so that they will not depart from that. And so it is so imperative to educate your child and not to feel like you are not qualified because you don't have a degree, you know, behind you. And so that was like something that really broke in my mind. And I was really wrestling with that because, you know, when you grow up in the public school setting, now I was trying to do that same model at home. The public school model at home while homeschooling. So there was so much breaking of mindsets that needed to be done. So we really leaned heavily on a lot of YouTube videos, the homeschool meetup group. You know, I was just grappling, trying to find resources because this was, you know, I had some background in homeschooling, like I said, but it wasn't, you know, very structured. It was just kind of like, okay, right. This is what you got to do. So,
and I'll say this, if you're feeling like God is calling you to homeschooling, or you're feeling that impulse that to like that's drawing you towards that, feel like that's something you want to do, get around like-minded people, get around people. You know, there is homeschool meetup groups.
There's so many resources. There's so podcasts. Much. There's like, it's such a huge thing now because, you know, so many parents are like, you know what? I want to be in charge of my children's education. And that's such a, like a noble, valiant thing to do. And so for us, we felt like pioneers in homeschooling because we're like, okay, what are we, you know, there wasn't a lot of people by us that were homeschooling. Not a lot of people at our church or, you know, everybody had their kids in school. And so it was amazing because God did bring the support. A good friend of mine at the time was, you know, I had mentioned it to her that I was homeschooling. She had never shared this with me. She's like, oh my gosh, you're homeschooling. I've been thinking about doing the same thing. Let's do this together. And God, I was like, oh my gosh. Yes. And so it was I was so thankful to God because he brought somebody to support each other in this journey. So the thing about when you feel God calling you, and this is what I have noticed in our journey, there isn't a strong feeling. Like, there isn't always, it's a lot of this, like, half feeling, like, I think I am supposed to do this, but I'm not 100% sure. And the fear of risk is like, becomes overpowering. But it's funny because it isn't until you step into it that God confirms it for us that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. That we start seeing and hearing, you know, more stories and stuff.
And sometimes it's the attack that confirms the calling. Like, you step into something for God, the enemy sees it, he attacks it. He's like, you're wrong. You're getting it wrong. This isn't what you're supposed to do. And if we're like vigilant and understand that, we can recognize that attack and be like, all you're doing is verifying to me that this is the call that I'm supposed to get.
Yeah. And the attack can come in as fear or doubt, like a bombardment of just a lot of insecurity. Like, I'm not capable of this. I'm not equipped for this.
But the Lord will always confirm it.
Yeah. And he did that by like having, you know, like my friend being like, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about the same thing. I'm so glad you mentioned this. You know, I was kind of self-conscious about bringing this up because I don't want people to think a certain way. And so, you know, but the fear and the intimidation definitely comes into play as like, you can't do this. Like, you're not equipped for this. And so we were kind of like pioneers in that way. And then, so it's funny because a lot of things kind of started happening for us in that way. The more that, you know, I always prayed over my kids and we always did devotions with them every night since they were little. And so it was important that I give my kids to the Lord and raise them, you know, in a way that prepares them for the life that God has called them to. I don't know what that looks like. We've never been parents that are like, had this roadmap for our kids. Like, okay, you are, as soon as you graduate school, you're going to go to attend a four-year university. And then after you attend a four-year university, then I want you to get a good paying job. I want you to live by us. I want you to, we've never had those expectations. And I remember just throwing all of that out of my mind when they were so little, like 3-4 years old. I just remember reading this verse in the Bible. I think it was in 2 Kings. And, you know, it was God telling Elijah, I am raising up those who have not bowed a knee to Baal or kissed him. I remember reading that verse and I felt that stamped on my heart. Like, that is your mission as a mom, is you are raising up a remnant that is going to be devoted to me. And that's just that's what my aim was. That was my target always, was to raise my kids in a biblical way. And so I would feel things like homeschooling.
And devotions.
Doing devotions every night.
And I think the point of that, to like jump on to your point, that's such a crucial time of development, like when your children are 4 to 10, because as we're now getting teenagers, starting to get teens into their teen years, that they begin to like push on those beliefs a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And they believe to like test their validity and to see, is this really the right way?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting pulled in different directions by society, and you can't, when they get to be teens, it really becomes difficult. Mm-hmm. You have to allow the testing of their faith.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, like you said, we've never had really a roadmap for, hey, our kids are going to go to college. But what we have said is, when you graduate, our challenge to you as our children is to take a year.
Yeah.
Take a year and give it to God, whether that's an internship, whether that is, I don't know, it's just serving somewhere, whatever it is. Give a year of your life to God. You can never have 18 to 19 again.
Yes.
And life can wait.
Yeah. That has been the one thing that we did push, is when you graduate, before you do anything, you need to take a year of like wrestling, because you can't carry our faith, our belief in God with you into life. It has to be your own. You have to know why you believe in God. You have to know why you serve him. Like, it has to be, you know, it can't be blind obedience. You have to know why you do what you do. And so
it was so foundational when our oldest son, Maddox, went to YWAM. We've told that story before. He's told that story on this podcast before. But when he went to YWAM and experienced God, he didn't just hear about him anymore. He didn't just like, you know, remember the legend of God. He felt God. Mm-hmm. He watched God work. Mm-hmm. You know,
and he went into that program not saved.
Cut off. Yeah.
Not saved.
Yeah.
He did not. His faith in God was little to none. It was not. He really had a lot of doubts in God. Because
we'll toss a link in the description to that video. Mm-hmm.
He had a lot. He was wrestling with his faith because of battling Lyme disease and a lot of other issues that he just couldn't understand. If God is good, why would he allow, you know, these things to happen in my life? So we saw his faith beginning to diminish. And I will tell you, as parents, pray for your kids. Fast for your kids. Mm-hmm. Like, don't give up on them. Don't think that, you know, it's the end. Just continue to press in and love on them. I there's so many mistakes we made during that time period, and there are so many good things that we did hold on to and cling to, because I also wanted to give him space to wrestle those thoughts and ideals and not make him feel shame about feeling that way. I didn't want him to feel like, how dare you question God and stuff like that. You know, those were a lot of conversations we had where I would just say, Maddox, just give God a chance. Just pray and ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him to reveal the whys. It's okay to tell God, I'm offended at you. I'm upset at you. And so we'd always try to push our kids to have honest conversations with God and not feel like you have to have these beautiful prayers. If God says in his word to cast your cares upon me, that is a care that he has. Like, he is truly feeling this way. And God wants our honest feelings. He doesn't want these pretty, you know, dandelion feelings of ours and us to pretend like we're not feeling a certain way. And so I always encourage him, journal it, like share this with God and let him reveal the whys. Like we need to get to that point.
We serve a God who loves great storylines.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all throughout the Bible. And our son Maddox honestly has lived an 80-year life.
Yeah.
And he's 19. Mm-hmm. But he's experienced enough disappointment and pain that it's almost a full life's worth.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can see the great storyline for mm-hmm. me. You know what I mean? You mm-hmm. can see like that, you know, that is the pioneer lifestyle.
And I'll be honest, I had my own doubts. Like, God, what the heck are you doing here? You know, what happened to Psalm 91? You're not going to let anything come near us right. and let it feel like diseases and, you know, sexual assault has just come and right at, hello, did I drop the ball? What's going on here? So even as parents, you have to, you know, come to God with your honest conversations. And so, you know, that's something that we felt very important to, you know, give to our kids and allow them to ask us those questions. Like, why would God allow this? Why would, you know, those are so important.
Most of the time we do try to answer them, but my answer most of the time is ask God. And God, you might ask God and then God comes to me and gives me an answer for them. Mm-hmm. Or you an answer for mm-hmm. them. It uses us for that. Mm-hmm. But he's after our interaction with him, you know.
And I always tell my kids too. I'm like, sometimes we don't understand. We won't get the answer to why till a couple years later. But we have to wait for the story to unfold. Because there's something being developed. And we don't quite know what it is. You know, we're just getting pieces of the puzzle. And then until, you know, as you begin to put the puzzle together, then you'll begin to see the beautiful picture that, oh my gosh, this is what this was all about. Now I understand. Now it was worth it.
It's the number one prayer I pray for our kids. I know it is with you too, but it's God, allow our kids to experience you. Mm-hmm. Let them touch you. Let them feel you. Let them hear you. Let them see you. However it is, experience. Because it's those little experiences that maybe I'll tell my story a little bit later. Probably the greatest experience I've ever had with God. You carry those things with mm-hmm. you for your life. Mm-hmm. They're anchors that you can think back to and go, God, I remember when I asked you what you thought about me mm-hmm. and you told me, you know, and you hang on to that.
Right.
You know, and so pray that for your kids. I know it's the number one thing on my prayer list. If I open it up right at the top, I got to pray it 10 times. But you know, it's right there. God experienced my kids.
I think that's the biggest heart of God, right? Well, for any generation, for parents, is that we adhere to his voice and his ways. And a lot of times it causes us to be countercultural.
Yeah.
And the intention is not, I want to be different than everybody else. That should never be the goal. The goal is just, I want to hear God's voice and what he has for my kids. Because what he may call one kid may be different than what he calls another kid. You know, all of our kids are so vastly different. They all have different you know, callings on their life. They all have different attitudes. They're all just so different. We've got 10 kids.
The pioneering lifestyle in Christianity is so different because you're leaving pain, you're leaving comfort, you're leaving one of those two things, and you're embarking on a 6 to 7 decade journey with the Lord, where the whole goal is experience him. Mm-hmm. Experience him through bringing his, you know, when Jesus came, he wasn't looking for a place like a pioneer looks for. He was bringing a place. Mm-hmm. And so when we partner with God, we're bringing something.
Right.
We're not looking to stake out ground.
Right.
We're bringing the kingdom.
Right. Yeah, right.
We're going on this journey of experiencing God through bringing his kingdom.
Right.
And a lot of times, like you said, it's countercultural.
Right.
That's why everyone looked at John the Baptist, the greatest pioneer of all time, the forerunner of Jesus himself, and said, this guy is a lunatic.
Right.
He's crazy. And he's like, just wait. There's somebody coming that's crazier.
Right. Right.
And I love that we get to partner with the Lord in parenting. We were youth pastors for a long time. And then I used to say, I used to be a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And I remember so vividly the Lord talked to us and you.
I gave birth to the youth.
I said, we are youth pastors.
Yeah.
We have 10 kids.
Yeah.
If you have one kid, you are a youth pastor.
Yeah.
You are God's voice to your child.
Yeah. You're called to be priest and a minister in your home to your kids. Yeah. It's like he says, I think so often we're in search of a destination, like an end game. But the whole thing is we just need to be content in the journey, because that is the Christian life, is you are on a journey. You are not seeking out a destination. Jesus wasn't here looking for a destination. He was here to journey. He was here to reveal the heart of God to the people, to bring the kingdom of God on earth and to show people what that's about. So,
and if you feel like, if you're listening to this going, I can't do that, that's not me, believe me, you are not disqualified from this calling.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, God gave you that child. God gave you that kid. Yeah. God put that situation, whatever that situation that you're in your life, where you have this place of influence, God put you there because he calls the unqualified. He calls, of course, you can't do it. He wants to do it through you. He wants to work it through us.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's so important.
The biggest thing that is on God's heart is for marriage and for kids is, what is your vision? What is your dream for my family? I think that is what needs to be at the forefront of our hearts. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the idea of the American dream. But what if God doesn't want you to have the house with the white picket fence and in the subdivision with two dogs, you know, and we're too busy chasing the American dream. And God's like, no, 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 I want you to chase my dream.
Hop in an RV. Go across the country.
That was us for
that was two years. You know,
2 years with six
kids at the time. Yeah.
Six kids, pregnant with the seventh.
Throw in an eighth.
It was a desire of my heart to just travel and see the world. And I was just kind of like, you know what? Buying into the American culture of just being like, well, it's something that we'll do when we retire. There's no way we can afford that. You know,
there's no way.
There's just how can we do that, you know, and we need to be stationary for his job and all this stuff. And so I just let it all go. All those dreams I had of traveling and seeing the world, I talked myself out of that dream. And I was like, it's just not going to happen. And then it was 4 years later,
something like that,
4 years later. He gets an offer to travel and RV. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
It was with our friends.
Yeah. I was like,
five families and RVs. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's just do it. Well, as you get into it, it sounds exciting and fun. Until you get into it and you're like, dear God, what are we doing? Oh my gosh. Like,
what do I do when this
happens? How are we gonna fit everybody in here? How are we gonna manage this? What are we, you know, it starts becoming the reality sets in.
If you know anything about RV life,
because
it's never good.
No, because again, I tend to sometimes be impulsive. And that was one of those moments where I was like, yeah, let's do it. We only live once. What are we going to do? Like, this will be so fun and exciting. And I'm thinking of all the fun and exciting parts. And then as we're shopping for RVs and we're looking at our budget, and I'm just like,
God, you're going to have to turn the water to wine here.
It's a too late for you to back out of this deal. And it was so funny because I remember waking up our first night in the RV. First of all, I found out two days before we were traveling, I was pregnant with our seventh. And
we're doing flooring, and we gutted this entire RV.
The whole RV.
Because, of course, we have to gut the thing and do it.
Yeah, because we're trying to make it suitable for us. And we just bought this, you know, kind of janky RV. And we're just like, we'll just renovate it and make it look good. And so that's what we were doing. And I knew it. I knew I was pregnant.
But it was funny because you talk about pioneering. But we were with five other families that I had worked with in the past. And they're just amazing people, a lot of which I'm friends with. But we would literally circle the wagons. Like, we'd pull in, we'd pull into these like RV campsites, and we'd circle our like RVs, and we'd have worship together, and you know, our good friends.
It was fine. Yeah. I'm like, I'm so glad that we took that time. But again, you begin to like doubt yourself. You're like, what the heck did I just, you know, commit to? What did I remember waking up in my room and just looking in the RV, seeing the kids playing with their Mario plushes on the floor. I'm just pregnant, and every smell gets to me. I like, my nose is like a hound dog when I'm pregnant. I can smell anything, and everything bothers me. And I was like, oh my God, what? Like, I can't do this. And I just remember seeing the kids playing on the floor. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I want to make this the best 2 years of our life, because we will never have this opportunity again. Like, when can we say we traveled for 2 years across the U.S. and we built something? Yeah. You know, we built something during those 2 years. And
honestly, because of our faithfulness, the Cubs won the World Series that year.
No, it was right before we
got in the RV. Yeah, 2016.
Right, 2016.
But I want to say it's because of the yes in our hearts that happened.
Right, yeah.
Right?
I guess we're going to have to hop back on the road again. So we,
yeah, we're going to need
if to. If there's anybody from the Cubs that's hearing this, you're welcome. It was because of us.
You're welcome,
the curse was broken. The curse is broken, people.
Cubs fans make the best Christians, because we just have this faith till
no
the end.
No kidding. You know? Oh my God.
Sorry, that was a squirrel.
So this is the ADD I got to deal with. But anyways, yeah. So when we traveled, I just remember being intentional. Like, we're in it now. There's no backing out. So you know what? I don't want the kids to look back at this and need therapy because their mom was a freaking lunatic, because she's like, what are we doing? Instead, I'm like, we are going to see the world.
Everything.
Like, yeah. Every single day. We were hiking or doing museum. There was nothing we did not go do. And I can look back at that moment and be so proud and thankful. Like, you know what? We seize that opportunity. And I think that's what it's all about in pioneering, is you want to embrace the difficult times, the fearful times, the doubtful, all of it. Because at the end, when you look back, you want to look back at those moments and be so thankful and not be full of regret that you seized the moment, you seized the opportunity, and you didn't let it pass you by. And you can't go back in your mind and say, I wish I would have done this. I mean, I can honestly look back at a lot of moments in our life and say, I'm so glad that we seize those opportunities. And I can be so proud and say, you know what? There is nothing about that season that I would change. It was so much fun. And the kids always go back to those memories and talk about it with so much laughter and such good times. And that makes me feel good because I was so afraid. I was so scared.
Their friends are, oh, I would really love to go here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That place is really pretty during the fall.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to go here. Oh, my gosh. We had the best time at that place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I'll say this too. Like, even with, like, looking back at Maddox's story and how through those years where he was struggling with Lyme disease and just all that, and he was, like, sleeping, like, here, you know, as a teen.
Yeah.
And the,
he was scared of having, like, if he'd have he'd have seizures every night when he would get into the certain, into the REM cycle of sleep. And he was scared that he was going to die, you know, and not wake up. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of that fear, it directed him to just sleep with us because he was like, in case he has a seizure, he wanted to know that there was somebody that was going to be there.
When God calls you to the pioneering lifestyle, he always equips you. And we saw it because it was.
You don't feel it at first. I'm going to tell you right now.
You got to step into it.
Yes. Right. You do not feel equipped at first. There was no, I can't say there's one thing that I could say. You know what? We felt equipped for being a family, a large family. I don't think there was never a time where I was like, oh yes, I can envision us having this many kids. There was no way. It was like with each kid was almost like a next step.
But there's never been more confirmation to that than Maddox's story. Cause he was, when he left for YWAM, he was like, he couldn't really be apart from us.
Yeah.
Like he was like with us.
Yes.
Close to us.
Yes.
You know, and the Lord took him to India.
Yeah.
The Lord took him to India.
Like that in itself is a miracle. Cause it's a miracle. Like he said, he had to sleep. With us or even just in our room there was that dependency.
Or with somebody with him. Like his sister had to be in the room or he was just had this fear about
it.
Am I going to have a seizure? Am I
We were like, you know what? I don't even know how is he going to sleep at night? Like it literally broke off of him when he went the first day.
Yes.
As soon as you
leave the plate. As a pioneer, you're leaving a place of either pain or comfort.
And there's such a grace the Lord gives you to fulfill the mission that he's called you to. He will give you the grace. You don't always feel it. And sometimes you do. Maddox was really nervous. But when he overcame that first night, I remember I was just by my phone the whole night like, but I didn't want to project my fears and concerns on him and say, how are you going to do tonight? Are you doing okay? I didn't want to keep texting him. I didn't want to do that.
I didn't hear from him.
I was like, I just wanted to be like, you're fine. Yeah. You're going to do great. I wanted to build him up and encourage him. I didn't want to throw my stuff on him and be like, oh my gosh, what's he going to, you know, that conversation happened between the two of us. But when it came with him, I was just like, you're going to do great. This is exciting. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe this? And, you know, really, I'm like dying inside. Right. Like, oh, my God.
We're going before the Lord like, God, please.
I was Academy Award. I would like to thank the Academy for putting on the best performance of Faking It Till You Make It. But I was like, you know what? I want him to feel confident in this season. I don't want him to feel like, can I do this? Should I do that? You know, so.
It's crazy when the Lord does it to the parents. But then when you see him with your kids.
Yeah.
The most precious thing. And the Lord goes, listen, you got to understand. Trust me with him.
Right.
I remember.
Basically we're borrowing.
We're
just borrowing. We're just stewarding what he gave us, but really
badly.
That's
most of the time. I'm telling you.
For real.
You know, it takes me back to when we were just talking about we had the four and and God, you heard from God, and he said, you're not done. You thought you were done, but you're not done.
And it wasn't it wasn't like a divine, like,
right.
I couldn't even say, God is leading me to do this. It was just like, oh, let's just have another one.
I was, like she said, I was hesitant. And all of our kids have always been mama's kids. They were mama's kids. The first four are mama's kids. Yeah, they're mama's kids. And I was like, and so the time came. She was pregnant. She was 2014. She's going to have the child. We named the child. Elijah. Elijah. And that comes from this verse in Malachi that, you know, I think the Lord was beginning to speak this to me for sure. It was about, you know, how his calling to our generation, to this generation, but he was talking about that generation, is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of children to the fathers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really feel like, you know, as we were going into that season, like, what are we doing? And then he comes up and he's just a total dad.
One and only son. And it's not normal for any of my kids to, when they're sick, they always just want me. Not Eli.
Daddy.
I mean, dad, we'd always joke that Eli was his teddy bear. We're just like, do you have your teddy bear with you? Because that Eli just prefer. I'm like, what the heck? Like, literally, this kid is attached to me all the time from nursing. And
and it was at that point, soon after that, we both began hearing from the Lord, you're going to be a mother of many.
Yeah.
You're going to be a father of many. Separate people, separate. And we were getting these like messages from God, like, you're going to be father to many, mother to many.
And we still don't feel like we've walked into that. Right. As weird as that sounds, yeah. Because we've got 10 kids, but we don't feel like, I don't know what that means. We're right. still like, we don't I don't even feel know the this. Fulfillment of that yet. But
again, we're not even halfway through our journey, you know, by God, you know, strength of God here.
Right.
But, we're not even halfway through our journey. It's like, we don't know what's around the corner, but our yes is our yes,
yeah.
You know, and we definitely feel that way. But
right.
I just, you know, to like really talk about how the, you know, God isn't going to call us to something and not equip us for it and not confirm it. So, you know, Amina, this is the voice of the Lord talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm a gracious God, I'm going to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to show you.
Yeah. So where were we at?
Oh.
Y'all, my mic was acting up, so I had to fix it. But we're back after these messages. But, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing is don't be afraid of what people are going to say. You guys, I remember we were celebrating Halloween. And I felt like the Lord was like, I don't want you guys celebrating Halloween anymore. And I'm just like, what? Excuse me? That's like the kids' favorite time to like dress up. I don't want to deal with the battle from them. And it was just, no. And so I felt that. And I told him.
We're that family.
And he's like, oh, my God, why? Like, what's the big deal? They're just getting candy. I'm like, Andrew, I feel like it's just demonic. I'm sorry. Yes. And I know. And I'm like, I don't, you know, to have to deal with the looks. And my kids do it to me all the time. They do it still. My son's over there standing in the kitchen like, you know, because they think I'm dramatic. I'm being too much. But you know what? I always tell them, my allegiance isn't to you. It's to God. At the end of the, when I die, I have to give an account for what I allowed and for what I, you know, agreed to and didn't agree to. And I'll be honest, there's times where I've compromised because I didn't want to deal with the war that, you know, they're going to give to me. And I just let them whatever. And trust me, the fruit of that does not taste good. Okay. It's better just go through the war. but you know, anytime I've compromised and given in to giving my kids what they wanted versus what I know God was like, no to. So this is, you're going to have to deal, no matter what, you're going to have to deal with the consequences.
And so, that's what spaces like this are for too.
Yeah.
Like where we can lean on each other.
Yeah.
Gosh, what are you going through right now?
The
pray
support.
Pray for me. Right.
So I felt no Halloween. So again, we have to be those weird people. So it's like, I don't want to deal with this, because then it's like, people are like, what are you guys going to be for Halloween? I mean, that's like the number one question the kids get asked. What are you guys going to be for Halloween? And I'm just like, and they're like, we don't celebrate Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh God, here we go.
Trunk or treat at the church.
Yeah. The kids already know we're going to get, so why don't you guys celebrate Halloween? What's the big deal? You know, so it's like, and I don't feel like, you know, being on 60 Minutes and giving a whole interview, it's just like, look, it's just a conviction. You do you. This is just what we don't believe in. Okay. Just we're weird. Okay. I don't know. like, so, you know, so things like that and things that are just annoying, you know, like, our kids, they used to love watching The Little Mermaid and Aladdin. And I remember I was in the kitchen making lunch one day, and I was just praying over the kids, and I just felt like the Lord was like, I don't want them watching The Little Mermaid or Aladdin anymore. And I'm just like, no, this is just me. Like, I really don't want to take that away from them, because it's like their favorite cartoon it was their favorite cartoon at that moment. It was like what would settle them down while we'd get dinner ready or right before, but whatever. I'm just like, I don't want to take that away. And so I kept hearing the phrase, I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child. You know, that scene from The Little Mermaid. I kept hearing that over and over as I was like protesting this thought. And I'm like, oh God, I kid you not. My son comes to me, Maddox, the same moment that I'm having this protesting conversation with the Lord. And he's like, Mom, I don't have a good feeling about the girls watching Aladdin and The Little Mermaid. And I was like, okay.
Out of the mouth.
I'm surrendered. Done and more done. So I just took the tapes and I hid them. I said, we're going to watch something different today. But, you know, the Lord just began to just show me things in the movie that was promoting rebellion. It was just, you know, advocating like, you know, just that rebellious spirit. And so, and it sounds stupid. It's just like, oh my gosh, are you one of those parents? Yeah, I guess I am. I guess right. I am. You know, I guess, you know, when you pray and you ask God how to lead your kid, he's going to ask you to start doing some stupid stuff that just seems insignificant. You're just like, a cartoon, really? Right. But then when you really see it, I mean, let's just be real. These are things that are teaching and training our kids. You know, it was like the same thing with the Frozen. I was just cleaning. It's funny when you're not watching it and you just hear the words, something's like doesn't sit. All of a sudden, it's like something doesn't sit right. And in it, she's singing like, show yourself, step into your power. And that line hit me so hard. And I was like, okay, shut it off. Shut it off.
That's exactly what it sounds like, too.
shut it off. And the kids are like, what? Mom, it's for, I know. Trust me. I know what. And right. They're like, why are you doing? I'm like,
we're putting Superbook on.
I'm like, I want to ask you something. Who is she asking to show yourself? Who's she calling on to show yourself? I don't need no freaking demonic spirits in my house. Right. Who is she summoning? She's saying, show yourself, step into your power. Whose power? And the kids are like, Mom, it's just a cartoon. Mom, what's it? No, shut it off. No, we're done. Frozen's gone. She's a witch right. Anyway.
No. Superbook, you know. Bring Gizmo in. Where's Gizmo?
Gizmo, right. Bring Gizmo. What's torch lighters? Let's right. Find an episode. Let's learn about a real martyr. You know? guys, and it's like, it seems so like out there. You will seem out there. You'll be one of those. You'll be one of those like over dramatic, whatever people. But you know what? When God puts something in your heart, it's better to honor him. It really is. When you read in the Old Testament, and it said this king did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and because they went ahead, they took down the Asherah or the Baals and the altars. And maybe, you know, like some of the kings, like King Asa, he took down, he got rid of the idols, but he left the high places. Yeah. You know, he didn't fully cleanse the land the way he was called to. And in your family, God has called you to cleanse the idols from generations that have passed down. And if you don't cleanse the idols, then the next generation that comes behind you, and you haven't taken down the high places and you just destroy the idols, they can just rebuild because the structure is there for them to just recommission what has been taken down. But you need to make it, you know, so.
And that's what.
So, you know, the thing about it is when God calls you to pioneer, it looks differently for everybody. I think a lot of times we have this mentality that it means like discovering uncharted waters or, you know, worlds unknown. But it could be breaking generational curses in your family, yes, being the breaker in your family and being the one to pioneer a new path in your bloodline. So critical. And, you know, whether it's, you know, you have generations of divorce, generations of anger or alcoholism, mm-hmm, or whatever those issues are, and God's calling you to break away from that and to establish a new covenant, you know, with him. And so, you know, you'll get backlash. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to be cool. You're not going to. Yeah. People are going to look at you a certain way. Yeah. You will get whispers. You will be one of those. You'll be, and trust me, we get it with being the homeschooling family of 10 that does not celebrate Halloween.
You have 10 kids? You know what causes that, right? Right.
Well, we hear it all. I'm like, hey, it's too fun to stop, though, isn't right. it? Sometimes I like to give it a little.
Just a little pushback. Like, a little.
But.
You know, like you said, though, when you feel the Lord living before the audience of one, I made that tough decision. I carved out 7 to 8 o'clock for devotions, mm-hmm, even though my kids are annoyed about it because they want to be on YouTube and or whatever, doing this and that. But we carved this time out and it turns into this beautiful time where we all are sitting there prophesying over each other, mm-hmm, and we wind up praying for everyone, winds up getting a turn in the middle of getting their hands laid on them and prayed, and we anoint them. And
sometimes it's just not that way either. Sometimes you really have to push through it. Gosh, you guys, raising teenagers.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I was that bad when I was a teenager. I couldn't have been that.
I'm just kidding. If it's any indication of you as an adult. I'm not surprised you didn't live out on the streets. Nah, like
I was feral.
Jesus. Deliverance. Right. But no, you guys, it's like.
It's hard.
It is so hard. And, you know, we really have to pray, God, give us strategy. One of our daughters, she is fire. Warrior. She is so like, she has so much, and I don't want to discourage the fire in her. We went to go see the movie Cabrini in the movie theater, and I kept looking over at her. I'm like, that is you. If you have not seen Cabrini, do yourself a favor. Sit down with your family and watch that movie, especially for you out there that want to show your children a strong female who has done things in the power and strength of God. and to show what that looks like, please watch it. Your daughters need to see.
Yeah, you want to talk about a pioneer.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
I just about turned Catholic in that movie. I was like, why did I not become a nun? Like, who knew that what these women can do? But no, I kept telling her, it's like, you know what your kids are called. You know, you don't know specifically, like, are they going to be a doctor or lawyer? Sometimes you do. But you know that whatever they have, if I can just harness what she has and utilize that force within her for the glory of God, what can you not do? Because, oh my gosh, it is so strong.
We know the Lord is just chiseling away. And she's so sensitive.
At all of us.
She's so.
I was praying for my kids one day, as I do when they usually get on my nerves. But I was praying for my kids. I was praying for her specifically. And I said, God, you know, reveal yourself to them. Like, awaken them. Awaken who, a desire of who you are to them, like in their dreams. And she had texted me the next morning because she was traveling with him for work. And she's like, Mom, I had the coolest dream. I had a dream that I was taken up in this tornado and I was being swirled around, but I was filled with so much joy in this tornado and I was being gently thrown to the ground and then picked back up. And it was the routine of that happening in her dream. And she said, you know, all she was doing was just like, God, how marvelous are you? How amazing are you? You are so powerful. Like, she couldn't stop worshiping God. Like, he was showing her his greatness and his power to her in her dream. And just doing it in a way, which is so funny because, you know, the tornado is such a powerful force. So, and she is such a powerful force.
She is.
But he was doing it in such a way that was causing her to delight in him in such a fun way, you know. And so she's like, it was just such a really cool. I did not want to wake up from that dream because it was like so cool. I was just being, you know, thrown around in this tornado, but it was like so gentle. It was so forceful, but it was so gentle. And it is such a picture of the pioneer life because you are being taken up and flung into these different areas that God is calling you to do, whether it's homeschooling, whether it's not celebrating Halloween, whether it's not allowing your kids to watch certain movies, whether it's selling everything you have and living in an RV for 2 years and traveling, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, he will do it in such a way that you will delight in him.
Yeah.
And it is not easy because, like I said, you do battle feelings of fear and doubt. But you know what? The outcome and the experience of it all far outweighs anything. And it's like for our 20-year anniversary, we were kind of gauging, like, what do we want for this next decade or two of our life? It's like, I don't want to stop pioneering.
Yeah.
I don't want to I don't want to live any other way than to always be, God, are you calling us to? Because 20 years, this will be our 20th year of being married and just seeing all the ebbs and flows, and it hasn't been easy, and it has been we've been war torn, and there's so many kinks in our armor.
A million times that we should have, everything should have fallen apart.
Yes. And how many times we wanted to quit on each other and just quit in general. There's nothing glamorous about pioneering. But when you look back, you're like, we pushed through. You know, it's like the best feeling when you stick through the hard thing and you're like, oh my God, I made it through. You finally break through. He has to do these jobs where there's these bollards or like these big, like metal, what do you call, like post that guard the propane tanks. You see them at like all the Walmarts and grocery stores and stuff like that, so that no car can come and, you know, blow it up. Well, he needed some help. So I was sawing one of the, you know, sawing down the bottom.
7-inch grinder right here. Makita 7-inch grinder. Like Tim the Toolman Taylor over here.
Yeah, baby.
Show my age with the show there. But yes, killing it. And my daughter, London, operates that thing regularly too.
Oh, yeah. And so this part, then that's why I had to do it, because she was like, Mom, I'm so tired. I can't. And so I was like, just go. I'll tap out. I'll do it. So I went ahead and was sawing at it. And I was just like, oh, when is this going to come down? And it makes you just want to quit, because it's just like, oh, my gosh. And then you look and you still got 4 or 5 more up that you still have to saw through. You're like, oh, my God. So you're just going through. And then all of a sudden you just, and then you're like, oh, my gosh, I think I got it. And then I finally pushed my first one down and I was so excited, and it fueled me to want to do the next one. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. And then halfway through, again, the feeling like, oh, my God, when is it going to come down? How much longer? And this is what our spiritual faith looks like. That's what it looks like when you're in the homeschooling journey, when you're raising kids. You're like, oh, my God, when am I going to get through? How can I?
Your family members like coming against you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. Or marriage. You're just like contending in marriage. You're not seeing eye to eye. There's just so much. Just like, when can we break through? When are we going to get through and finally push through? God tells us it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by his spirit. So if we can just really embrace that truth, that when we're raising our kids, it's by his spirit. It's not by might. It's not by yelling at them and enforcing. And yes, we do have to enforce rules. But I'm telling you, there is such strategy when it comes to raising our kids, because they're all so different. Yeah. You know, I remember with my fiery daughter, she was talking and it was starting to build into an argument. And I'm like, God, I don't want to go there. I do not want to get into this battle with her. What can I do? How should I respond? And I just remember, you know, as she was talking, I'm just praying. I'm not, honestly, I wasn't even listening to what she was saying. I was just like trying to listen to God's voice. And he was just like, just be gentle. Just be gentle, because it's so easy when your kids are like being so disrespectful and loud to match their level and to be like, excuse me, you don't.
Especially in an Irish Puerto Rican household.
Oh my God, forget it. It's like the trenches. But you know, God wants us to really press in and lean into him. And that is the whole point. It's like, direct me, direct my words, direct my tone. Help me to like really engage in what is it that she's really trying to say? What is it that she's really feeling? Because the way she's acting right now there's something else. Yeah. And you know, God really gives you insight when you press into him. Sometimes we just need to shut out the noise of our kids and just go into that secret place in our mind and garner the wisdom
each other in marriage sometimes.
And oh my gosh, all the time.
You know.
Because we all speak different languages. We all have different needs and different feelings. And I think, you know, we were trying to gauge that even for our own marriage. Like, what can I not deal with for the next 20 years?
You're fighting for something. You're contending for something, you know, and marriage is all about figuring that out. And again, sometimes you're speaking one language and I'm speaking another, and you wind up just in this thing, and then all of a sudden there's this peace from the Lord. It's just like, extend grace and listen. Shut up and listen. And I've had some of my most incredible encounters with the Lord, even like after an argument, where the Lord calms you down and he really he starts to install a way for you to meet that other person's need. That is what pioneering in marriage looks like. You know, growing, building. How are you together going to accomplish what God has for you? How is God going to be able to speak to both of, to get two people on the same page to accomplish what he has for you two to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful part of marriage. It's one of the things I love about you so much is how sensitive you are to the voice of God and, you know, unafraid to go into it, because it's scary. It's scary to take those steps. I can't say it enough. If you're like watching this and you're saying, yeah, that's great. That's great that you guys have felt that. That's great that that's, you know, your life. But I'm disqualified from that. I can't do that. I want you to know what, as you take these steps, God is going to lead you. And I remember before we started traveling, we had, I think, 4 kids at the time. We'd gone to a church and this random guy came up and just gave us this word. And we never met this guy before, but we knew we were stepping into this time. This was like 2015, I think, where we were going to be, as where we were going to make a move from Chicago to Kansas City, end up getting into an RV. I mean, it was going to be this shape-shifting time of our like lives. And he said, I just want you guys to know, I see you guys walking downstairs, and each stair is getting illuminated one at a time. As you take the step, the next one, he shows you the next one.
It's just going to be covered in darkness.
It's just going to be covered in darkness and scary.
And the only thing that you will see is your next step being illuminated.
And it immediately, of course, obviously, it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto my path. And I begin working at an electrical shop called Lamp and Light Electric, which is just like hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilariously ironic.
God's got jokes.
But I want you to know that it looks a lot like that.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like, God, I know you're calling me to this, but it's scary. And I see the first step that you've made for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's homeschooling. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's starting a Bible study at your work. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, you know, discipling. You know, maybe you're a teen watching this and you get two teens a little, you know, a couple years younger than you to begin to disciple them. Whatever that calling mm-hmm. is to do, to step yeah. into, it's those yes, it's what's on the other side of those mm-hmm. yeses.
Biggest fruit is fighting past the fear and the doubt and moving into acceptance and saying, okay, I'm here. And I'm committed to the Lord. I'm committed to the call. So I need to make the most of this. So how can I respond in a way that is not going to rob me of this season? And just having the perspective of heaven and just asking him, take me to a place where I can have the right type of perspective. Because when I was in that RV in the little Cracker Jack box, and I was just like, how can I make this a time where I can really steward this time well and look back with such incredible memories? And I am so glad I thought that. And I didn't always have that. Like, even in our marriage, I felt like in a lot of ways, you know, we got pregnant out of wedlock, and just there were so many issues in our marriage. And I wish I would have had that same perspective that I did in the RV. But, oh, forgetting what lies behind and pressing to what is ahead. So Philippians 3:13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. So much of our life, we are straining. He uses this word straining. He says he's straining toward what is ahead. But instead, so many times we're straining for what is behind as if we can fix it. And we're stuck in this place of grieving because we're like,
what did I miss?
What did I do? What decision did I make? Yeah, what did I miss? And we stay stuck. And that becomes our tension. Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. We need to focus all of our energy to what is ahead and forget what's behind. Forget about it all. Forget about the mistakes. Don't relive it. Don't rehearse it. Don't meditate on it. Our focus needs it. Now, we do need to go through a time where we're like, okay, assess so that we don't make the same mistakes, but we can't carry that with us day in and day out. And so we just relive over and over our past.
We need to take that grace that was extended to us in that mistake mm-hmm. and allow it to push us forward.
Right. And sometimes we just need to have that memory of like, oh my gosh, I do not want to go back there, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes God allows us to go through things, not so we could be so traumatized that we can't move forward and we're too scared to move forward, but because he wants to propel us to move forward. So we're like, oh my God, I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to be stuck here anymore. And so he says, forgetting what is behind is straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And that is what pioneering is all about. It's about putting all of our energy and our focus for the goal to win the prize for which God has called us. That's what pioneering in marriage, in parenting, in single life. It doesn't matter like what stage of life, but we always want to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which he has called us to.
Straining.
Yeah. Stop straining.
Stop looking backwards and, you know, wishing you could fix the past.
Like I said, we need to use those moments that have caused us pain, not to keep us stuck, but to propel us forward and say, I got to get out of this. I don't want to be stuck here. I don't want to relive this anymore. So that's a little bit of what we have to say for Valentine's Day, for our anniversary that we're celebrating, is pioneer. And don't be afraid to take those risks and those challenges, because I will tell you, you will live in a place of regret and always wondering what if. And I think that was the one thing that we've always been unified in, is I don't want to live with regret. I don't ever want to wonder what if we would have done this, or what if we would have said yes to this, or what if we would have said no to this. You know, we just want to seize every opportunity. And I'm glad we did. We've made so many moves.
So many.
We've traveled. We've said yes to so many different things. And God has taken us to amazing places that I never would have dreamed. I never would have dreamed that we would have gone to Guam or Japan, or stayed out in the East Coast and walking the roads that pioneers walked in Williamsburg and in Jamestown, and knowing the fear that must have come over them to travel to unknown lands, not knowing what awaits them there, what life would look like, but just feeling called to it and doing it. And look at our yes. It's not just for you in your lifetime. It's a legacy. This makes a generational impact.
You're a breaker.
Yeah.
That our founding fathers who came here were leaving tyranny.
Yes.
They were leaving tyranny, and they said, whatever is over there can't be as bad as what's here. And I'm going to step into it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to like find that. And I think that is so very important, is that we understand that the joy of success outweigh the pain of failure. Let's go. You know, if I stay here rotting in this, is that going to be better than if I risk?
Oh, yeah.
The joy that comes along with the success of that.
And it was amazing to be able to sit in the rooms that the Continental Congress first took place. It was amazing to be able to just be in those rooms that our forefathers made the decision, we're going to start, this is the revolution, we're going to start it, you know, we're breaking away, you know, we're going to pioneer a new life for this nation, and having a dream in their heart of freedom and democracy. Yes. Yeah. It made me so emotional. Oh, I just felt the spirit of the Lord in that room. And for us to be able to do it as a family and all sit in that room, you know, we have broken a lot of things from our own bloodlines and pioneered a new way for our children to see a different way of life than what we've experienced. And I'm so glad that we've been able to give them a life filled with laughter and taking risk and challenges and seeing how to respond in the midst of that. We were sitting here on the East Coast and we're just like, I know God has us here for a reason. What is it? And God just opened us up to what it is that you have, that you're wanting to show us, that you want us to learn, you know, in this trip, because we were only supposed to be here for 2 weeks. It got extended far more.
Keeps getting extended little by little bit.
Yeah. And just being able to walk and seeing all these settlements. I know it's because God is calling families to pioneer. He's calling you to pioneer. He's telling you to leave the old and to start the new. Whatever it is that he's putting in your heart, whether it's for you to start your own family, whether it's for you to break away from certain people, whatever that is, even if that means you being the quote unquote black sheep of your family,
fathers,
being the weird one.
Fathers, yes. If you haven't really stepped into the father, if you haven't stepped into the husbandry, if you haven't stepped into these things, that could be it. You know, like that, it's never too late to start loving your children right, loving your wife right, loving your family right, leading your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not disqualified.
Yeah.
You're not. Just step into it. And I feel like that is really the essence of what Amina is doing with this channel.
Pioneering. Because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I did a whole episode like I'm scrambled eggs over here. Like, what the heck? But it's so funny because all the places we were going to in Williamsburg all had the same theme. The tour always started the same way. This place was burned down and we rebuilt it. And I was like, what? Right.
Here's a cannonball lodged in the side of it.
I'm like, God, I hear you. I hear you. Every single building we went to.
But this one thing was saved from the fire and we built on the same foundation. Or, you know,
it was so remarkable. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And we'd look at each other. I'm like, rebuilding ruins. You know, it was just
the White House. The Capitol building. Like, all of it. It's been burned down.
And it was funny because we went to this restaurant that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson like to eat at in Williamsburg when they frequent this tavern. So we ate there and it was so cool because they had the same menu as that time period. We're talking to the waitress and she's like, so rumor has it that Thomas Jefferson would call Williamsburg Firesburg because something was always catching on fire and they'd have to rebuild it. And I'm like, what? I'm like, so how long has this been staying? She's like, oh, actually, this was also burned
down.
It's
like the fourth time. No, it's the fourth edition of the building.
Yeah, they had to rebuild it. She's like,
they started putting the kitchens like outside of the actual buildings.
Yeah,
I'm like, we can't have the kitchen in the building.
I'm like, so they kind of did things right back then where they would build the kitchen outside of the houses back then. But that is the beauty of following the Lord is he doesn't, the call he has on one family is not going to be the same that he has on another. You know, you are so uniquely made and divinely called that he has something specific for you that's going to bring fulfillment and joy to your family. And a lot of uncertainty and a lot of doubt and a lot of fear comes along with the pioneer life. I'm telling you, that is just the way it is. But just like that one guy was telling us, that one step will just be illuminated.
Yeah. If you're a Christian and you're watching this, I have good and bad news for you. This is literally your inheritance, the pioneering lifestyle. This is what God calls us to. When he called the disciples, he said, immediately follow me. And you had people who were like, well, hey, you know, I got to bury my father's. He's dead. He just died. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Let the dead bury their dead.
Yeah.
Come on this journey with me. Mm-hmm. Come on this journey with me. And let's pioneer. Let's be pioneers.
Yeah.
Let's be pioneers.
And we'll build our home.
We love that song.
You should not have, you know, you can't get me.
I got it in her head.
You cannot get me started on that. You cannot. I have to finish it. Okay,
that's good.
There's a song that we sing. Okay, now I'm done. I'm done. I remember. Okay, now I'm really done. Ah, I love that song.
Another great movie of pioneering.
Unsung heroes.
Come on. We're so all good about the Christian movie thing.
Right.
The Angel Studios.
We support them. Yes. For sure.
That's a great movie.
We could go on and on and on. But, you know, the whole essence is to not be afraid to step out. Do not be afraid of looking like a fool or an idiot or one of those or being stereotyped. Look. It is what it is. Your commitment is to God, and that's it. Like, what everybody else has to say is, you know.
Because we would have never thought when we stepped out that we didn't know what it looked like. We didn't know what the future looked like in front of us.
No.
But the Lord has blessed us and along the way.
And he loves proving us wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you thought you were going to have to wait till you were 75 to be able to see the world.
Yeah. I'll put you at a table with your enemies right now.
Yeah.
And I'll bless you.
And he did that. Things that I thought were impossible and not realistic. And I would always be told that by members of my family. Girl, get your head out of the clouds. Stop dreaming. You're just, girl, be realistic. Oh my gosh. You know, and it's so funny because I've never been one to just settle into this box. My wings were too big for boxes. And that's why we have 10 kids and I'm doing a podcast at 1 o'clock in the morning with my husband.
Because we can't do it at 10 o'clock in the morning because you wouldn't be able to hear anything.
Did you have anything else?
I just really hope that this episode blessed you and that you're able to gain some strength. And maybe it's just the nudge of confirmation you needed as you are either starting your journey or you're halfway through and ready to give up or on the verge of divorce or whatever. Maybe you are divorced and you're like, what am I going to do? I just hope this blessed you and that you can get garner some sort of strength from this and that the Lord would bless you mightily, that he would bless your family, bless your, you know, ministries.
If you say no, be more afraid of being stagnant and apathetic. Be more afraid of deteriorating in comfort. Be more afraid of that than to step into the unknown and build something that I'm telling you, whatever God calls you to, it is not just for you. Just put that over there.
If Jackie Robinson never decided he was going to break that barrier, where would we be in society?
You guys, why am I having a full-on emotional breakdown every time I hear the song Moana? I'm not even kidding you. It's like the Lord, he does not stay in Christian music. I mean, he can use Disney movies too. I guess it's not, as long as it's not Ariel and, right, and Aladdin. Right.
We're good with Moana.
Moana, yeah. But
Go beyond the reef. No, go beyond the reef. Go.
Go.
Go,
girl.
Sometimes there's boundaries there for a reason.
Yeah.
But when you look around and everything is telling you, you need to figure something out here. This is not the solution. Yeah. Go.
I have crossed the horizon.
She's singing. She likes Spotify tonight.
Mm. I'm like Donkey from Shrek when he just keeps singing him.
Yeah. And I'm just like Shrek.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's accurate.
My daughter actually does call me an ogre.
Yeah, they do.
I'm good with that, though.
Are you, though? No, but guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. And, if you guys want to like, comment, subscribe, great.
Tell your friends.
I am curious if there's any of you guys out there that are on the precipice of wanting to start something, and maybe there's something holding you back. We'd love to pray with you too, or encourage you, or just to share. If you don't have anybody that celebrates you or celebrates what you're doing, put it in the comments. We'd love to celebrate with you guys too, and form a community of support. And we're just like, I really want to share this with somebody. Who do I share this with? I want to celebrate.
Be our friends.
Yeah. So we get that. And a lot of times it's very lonely. It's lonely being a pioneer. But, I just want to encourage you guys that God's vision and dreams for our life extends far beyond your life, your generation, your children's. It is for generations to make a generational impact. And when you think about that, it's so humbling. Like, you're choosing me to make a generational impact, you know?
How could you invite me into this?
Yeah, but into a huge storyline. So I hope you guys have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Yes. And if there's any anniversaries out there, congratulations on making it 1 year, 2 year, 50 years, however long you've been married. Or we celebrate right alongside you. That is so huge.
Here's to another 20 years. She's got to reach for hers.
My Diet Coke is flat. It was already flat too. Clink. Salud. Okay. Lord, we thank you for this time. And I just pray for my listeners that you would ignite such a fire that cannot be contained. Lord, I ask that you would call them to a place where they can meet you and encounter you, that you would call them out of any type of comfort or apathy. Father, I pray that you would give them dreams and visions of their future, Lord, that they would be more afraid to say no to the unknown, Father, than to be complacent and just staying in the comforts. Pray that they would hear your voice, Father, even if that means only one step gets illuminated, that they would walk and step into that with boldness. Father, that fear will not override the joy of what you are calling them to. Father, give them peace that flows like a mighty river in their hearts and in their mind, that they will be established in your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, until next time, continue to
Rebuild your ruins. Rebuilding Ruins. Catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear on future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.